together. And I say that every time I stand up to minister, but it is, it's good to be together. It's good to be in a place where we have an opportunity to encounter God. And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about our values as a church, what we expect our behaviour to be like, what we expect our day-by-day life to be like, what we expect our church life to be like. And one of our values is that when we gather together in large groups or small groups, or even when you gather together on your own, we expect that we're going to have an encounter with God. And I'd like you to think for a moment what you think that means, having an encounter with God. Right, you can do that now. I'll give you a moment or two. What does that look like to you? What do you imagine in your understanding of having an encounter with God? One of the really important things about any value, about understanding anything of our faith, is that we know what it means. And so we've been singing a lot of songs this morning, and some of you may know what it means, some of you may not. But when we gather together, I'm going to talk about what it means to have an encounter with God and what that should look like to you, what it should look like in the church, and how powerful it is when we encounter God. There's a saying, isn't there, that you should never meet your heroes. Has anybody ever met their hero here? Is it? Oh, right. I'm going to ask you a question about that, Jed. You said you should never meet your heroes because you're going to be disappointed. And were you disappointed? No. You weren't? You obviously didn't say anything then. You spoke with him. Because what our perception of our heroes sometimes isn't the reality of who they are. And it can be like that with each other as well. Our perception, our understanding of each other isn't quite what it is, and we can be very, very disappointed when we meet somebody who we think is our hero and they turn out to be just like us, really. And so when we're talking about an encounter with God, we're talking about meeting God, we're talking about that moment when you meet somebody and you go, wow, that was amazing. For many of us, we've had encounters that have changed our lives. Many of us have encountered our wives or our husbands, and it's transformed our lives forever, hasn't it? We are different people because of that. We have had an encounter that's had a lifelong impact on who we are and sometimes where we go in life. Many of us have had school teachers who've inspired us. Many of us have had school teachers who have done exactly the opposite and have ground us into the ground and made us feel miserable. We can have negative and positive encounters with people. And so we're going to have just a look at encountering our God and what that should feel like. Now, I'm going to show you a video clip now. It tells us in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 1, that in the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his wonderful word. And so the embodiment of who God was represented by Jesus. And what Hebrews is saying, in the past God spoke to us through prophets, and we know what some of those prophets were, but now he's speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he came and he lived on earth, and he represented God by being God on earth. And God promises that when we meet together, that he's going to meet with us. And that's really important to understand that when we are gathering together. Jesus said, I'm going to be there when you gather together. I want to have an encounter with you. I want to do something in your life that is going to transform it. I want an encounter. And so this is where our faith, if you like, our Christian faith is different than many others, because if God doesn't turn up, then what's the point? Because it's just a group of people gathering together, worshipping God, but not experiencing his presence, not experiencing that moment when he breaks into our heart and into our understanding and begins to do something new. He begins to work in our lives. He begins to speak to us. And so our faith would say that God is here, and is here right now. We are encountering God, and he speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit has been given to us. He's been gifted to the world. Jesus said, I've got to go away, but I'm going to send somebody who's going to be able to speak to everyone at the same time. The Holy Spirit just fills the world. And the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. He's our helper. He helps us understand who God is. He helps us listen to God. He reveals God to our heart. He's the one that brings challenges. He's the one that brings hope. He's the one that pours the love of God into our lives. And so we know when we are encountering the Holy Spirit, because we experience those things in our heart. Jesus lived on earth, and many, many people encountered him, and their lives were transformed. But we see right from the beginning of Scripture that God always had encounters with people. God always wanted to communicate with us. And in the Old Testament, he communicated through prophets, and he communicated through men who became leaders of the nation. And for those of you that you know, who know Scripture, we can kind of reel off names where God actually broke into their lives. He broke into where they were at, and he transformed who they were, and he transformed their expectation of what was going to happen, not only in their lives, but for the life of the nation of Israel. And we think about Moses, who led the children of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt. Abraham, who received that promise of his children being greater than the stars in the sky. Of Joseph, who was taken from being a teenager to actually leading the nation of Egypt. Of David, who was a man after God's heart. He encountered God on a daily basis. He wrote many of the Psalms for us, and he led the nation of Israel. He brought unity, and he brought victory in many battles. We've got Samuel and Solomon, who were gifted to lead the nation close to God, to listen to God and actually guide it in the right things to do. And so all the way through the Old Testament, we see these encounters where God was breaking in to this nation. He was speaking through people and to people to move the nation closer to him. They didn't always listen, but that's another story, because we can have an encounter with God and choose not to listen. God changes us. 1 Samuel 10. Did he give you this one to do? 1 Samuel 10, yeah. This is Saul, who was chosen as to be the first king of Israel. And he recognized that he wasn't really what he needed to be. But this is what happens when we encounter God. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. If you want to be changed into a different person this morning, seek an encounter with God. One of these signs are fulfilled. Do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. Go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, but you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you who you are to do. Saul turned to leave Samuel. God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. And that is so important for us to understand, that God changes our heart. He changes in our very core. He changes our thinking. He changes our expectations of life. He changes our understanding of who God is. He changes our heart. When we encounter God, something significant and eternal happens in our lives. It's a miracle, really. And for those of us that have experienced this transformation when God has revealed himself to us and he's changed our heart, it's a day where we celebrate, and that's why we worship him, because we recognise the greatness of all that he's done in our lives and all that he is doing today. When Jesus came, he became personal. So the God we read in the Old Testament is a God of a nation who spoke to the nation through his prophets, through his rulers, his kings. He spoke to the nation through them. And Jesus came and he changed the whole dynamic of his relationship with us. Suddenly this relationship that could only be accessed through priests was accessible through Jesus Christ. So it's open to everybody here. It's a very personal one-to-one relationship that we can have with him. So I just want to look at a few people who encountered Jesus. And that's what we saw there was somebody encountering Jesus whose life was transformed. He had leprosy and he was healed. And as you read through the New Testament, there's many, many stories about encounters with Jesus where he changed somebody's life. Physically and spiritually, he transformed people. Lazarus. This is an amazing story, isn't it? Lazarus being raised from the dead. I'm going to read from John 11. I've not asked Cain to do this. I know that you're always near me, but I said for the benefit of the people standing here that they may believe that you sent me. So that's Jesus talking to his disciples. He's explaining what was going to happen and why. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So this is somebody who was dead. Lazarus, he'd been dead for a number of days. And Jesus broke into his circumstances. "Lazarus, come forth." And he was brought back to the land of the living. He had an encounter with God that was probably one of the greatest encounters that we could ever have. He was brought alive. You may feel dead this morning. You may feel that there is death in your heart, in your life. But Jesus wants an encounter with you, and he's standing and going, "Lazarus, or whatever your name is, come forth." He wants to bring life where there is death. We've got a story about a man called Zacchaeus, who was only a little man, and he had an encounter with Jesus. And I love this because it's a transformation of heart. And sometimes it's our heart that needs transforming. We might be well physically, we might be healthy, but there is something inside of us that needs transforming. He says, "All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be a guest in the house of a sinner.'" Whoa. Jesus was always very challenging. And he'd chosen to go with Zacchaeus to share food. And Zacchaeus was considered by the Jews as a sinner, unclean, not worthy. We don't go anywhere near him. He was a tax collector. He used to steal and he used to rob. And so he wasn't very well liked. But Jesus chose him to go and have some food with, which really irritated the leaders of the Jews very greatly. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to them, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is son of Abraham." Zacchaeus' encounter with God transformed him from a thief and a robber into somebody who gave, whose heart was totally transformed, who gave away everything that he'd stolen four times as much. It needs something supernatural to happen in our hearts to do that. Completely transformed and changed. Much of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul, and he had an encounter with God. He was a Pharisee. He was well-versed in theology, a theologian, but he didn't understand who Jesus was. And in fact, he was trying to persecute the church of Jesus Christ because he thought they were coming against their traditional views, their values, and their religion. And so he was seeking to actually persecute the church. And Jesus was traveling to Damascus. Paul was traveling to Damascus, and he says, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replies. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling around there were stood speechless. They could hear the sound, but they didn't see anybody. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see. So they led him by hand to Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink. And the story goes on, he did receive his sight back. But he was a religious man, thought he was doing the right thing religiously. And Jesus is saying to him, look, you're fighting against me here. What are you seeking for? What are you looking for? And his eyes, his spiritual eyes, were opened. His heart was opened to Jesus, and Jesus broke in and transformed who he was. And suddenly he was filled with the love of God, with the purpose of God, with a heart to serve God, and he went and he transformed the world by his ministry. So he can speak to us if we're religious. He can speak to us if we are a sinner. He can speak to us if we want to be a new man. He can speak to us if we are dead. When we encounter him, something happens. There's another story about a man called Legion. This is an amazing story. Incredibly powerful, and just demonstrates the love and the power of Jesus. And Legion, they called him Legion because he was tormented by many spirits, and he was so strong that they couldn't chain him, they couldn't hold him, and they put him out of the way so he couldn't disturb the community. He was kept at arm's length, and Jesus broke into his life. Night and day, among the tombs, living with death, and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." So there's a perception that Jesus was going to come and torture him because he was so tormented, because he would have considered himself so unworthy and so far away from God. But Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is Legion, because we are many." And Jesus just dealt with that situation. He overcame the power of the enemy. And when the town kind of heard what was going on, they came to see the result of this encounter with this man who nobody wanted, who nobody could control, who nobody would have any relationship. They would have lived in fear of him. And they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. What a powerful story of Jesus encountering this man. So when we're talking about an encounter with Jesus, we're talking about something in our meeting, something in our gathering, that actually gives God the opportunity to do something with us. I suppose what I'm doing is reminding all of us, because we can just come on a Sunday morning and just think it's going to be like every other Sunday morning, as good as that might be or as bad as that might be. But what I want us to do when we come together is change our perception, change our understanding of what it means to gather together and experience an encounter with God. So when we come together, can you imagine what it would have been like? And I loved that when that soldier said to one of the disciples, he said, "Why do you follow him?" And he said, "This is why. This is why we follow him. Because when people encounter him, their lives are transformed forever. In many ways, he brings healing. He brings forgiveness. He fills our lives with his love. He gives us hope. He gives us a future. He has plans for us. He wants to bless us. God is our friend. He is not our enemy. He's not our judge. He becomes our friend. He becomes our father. He becomes the one that supplies everything that we need. And sometimes we have to have a new encounter with him." There was a man, and I suppose there would have been many men and women who encountered Jesus, but it made no difference. In fact, if we go back to the story of Legion, towards the end of the story, those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well, because the pigs took on the spirits and they jumped into the sea. Powerful demonstration of who Jesus is and how he deals with the enemy. He said this: "Then the people began to plead with Jesus to what? Leave their region." Their encounter with Jesus was so powerful, so challenging, so startling, that they didn't want him round. And that's how Jesus is. When he breaks into our lives, we still have that choice as to whether we're going to have a positive encounter with him or go, "I'm not interested, please leave." And as church, we want to openly welcome him into our presence. We want to give him every opportunity to actually minister to us, to break into our lives, to have an encounter with him. We don't want to be a church that rejects the very person of God. And sometimes you'll go to churches and you think God's not here. I don't know whether you've ever experienced that. God's not here. But as church here, we welcome him and we want him to bring something to each of our lives. And that'll be different for everybody. If we look at the miracles that Jesus did while he was on earth, they were many and various. All very powerful, but different. And what you need Jesus to do won't be what I need Jesus to do, but we both need an encounter with him. When we look at our own lives, and I don't know whether you do, but we kind of examine ourselves. It's what Millie said, that she examines herself, and that means you think about your own value, you think about your aims and objectives in life, you look at your behaviours, you look at what you're doing and where you're going, and we examine our lives. And sometimes as we examine our lives, we think, well, what I really want is impossible. What I really want, I can't see how that's going to happen. But the great thing about encounters with God are that he makes the impossible possible. Do you want that kind of encounter with him? Where the things that you're kind of thinking about, those little patterns of behavior, those thought patterns, habits, the things that control us in life, maybe low mood, we don't know how to get out of it, maybe we don't know what the future holds. Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, Jesus looked at them and said this: "What with man, this is impossible, but not with God. all things are possible with God. It's quite a statement, that, isn't it? All things are possible. There's a whole new Bible study about what that means, because we've got to actually work with God to sometimes bring the possibilities to be a reality. We've got to be obedient. We've got to use faith. But those things that we kind of go, I just don't know what to do here. I just cannot get out of this circumstance. I cannot break free. I've tried many, many times. Jesus saying it's possible with God, but we need an encounter with him. Also says that God is willing to do more than we can imagine or think. And sometimes we limit God by our own thinking, and we think, well, for God to do that is quite a big thing, so let's just believe for a little thing. And we limit God by our own lack of faith. But what God is saying is he can do more than that. Come on, don't limit me in your thinking, in your understanding, in your faith life. Don't limit who I am and what I'm trying to do, because what I'm saying is that all things are possible when you put me into the circumstances. God is willing to do more than we can imagine or think. So what's our conclusion? What God wants to break into our lives. As you read the Bible, as you begin to study it, reflect on it, and begin to understand it, God wants an encounter with each of us. That's his heart. He wants to do something in our lives that is supernatural and beyond what we can imagine or think. He's in the business of creating something new within you. No matter what you think about yourself, no matter how unworthy you think you are, no matter how far away from God you think you are, that's not who God is. He's our friend, he's our father, and he wants to bring good and positive things into our lives, the impossible things that we consider. So how do you know whether you've had an encounter with God? That might be the homework for the week. How do we know that we've had an encounter with God? Well, all these people that we've talked about this morning knew, because they've been transformed. God had broken into their lives and done something unbelievably miraculous, and he'd spoken to them. He transformed their circumstances. He brought healing and salvation and all those things that we know God wants to bring to our lives. So every time we meet with God and encounter God, he's doing something in us. Not always great big things. Sometimes the small things are as important as the big things. And we can reflect and we can go, you know what, God's working in my life because I used to do this and I don't do it anymore and I don't know why. Or I always wanted to serve God and I thought it was going to be impossible, but as we encounter him, he changes us. There's a process going on, and eventually we begin to serve God and we go, wow, that is just amazing. I never thought that that would happen. So when we encounter God, he speaks to our spirit. Something happens in here. And worship is a great thing for that, because he lives in our praises. And so if you want to encounter God, sometimes we've got to get rid of who we are. Like Sue said this morning, we've got to empty ourselves of ourselves and allow God to break in and fill us with himself. But in today's world, we don't seem to give time for that to happen. So what we're going to do now, we're going to worship and we're going to allow God just that moment. And if you're seeking something from God, he wants to have an encounter with you. You've got to decide whether you have one with him. I've been singing this song all week.